We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing.
Another big win last night for the Nashville Predators. They get it done 4-3 in overtime against the Columbus Blue Jackets after blowing a 3-0 lead in the third period. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to the folks at Fox 17 for some great severe weather coverage. We'll continue to keep you updated on that as best we can as we move throughout the morning here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, the Predators, a big win last night against Columbus, and it was one of those things where I thought they came out and were a little sluggish in the first period. It looked like it took them a minute to get their legs underneath them. Saros had to make some good saves. Now, they did get a couple of breakaway opportunities in the first period that they were not able to capitalize on, but they come out in the second period. Forsberg gets the goal, which, by the way, Robbie Stanley clicks in Preds Pick the Click once again.
Yeah.
Number two on the season.
7-7-3-2.
7-7-3-2.
I think Porth should be a little more worried about you than trying to chase me.
That's right. Closing some ground in Predators Pick to Click.
I got this.
Okay. I'm just making sure that you know I'm coming for you. Forsberg gets the goal last night. I thought he played well. That Johansson line looked really good. Johansson scores on the power play. Roman Josi with a rip from the point. They're up 3-0, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, Predators are up 3-0. You look down in South Florida, and the Panthers are up 4-2 on the Dallas Stars. This could be a really good night for the Predators. That magic number could go from 7-3. And all of a sudden, you know, 15 minutes later, the Predators in a 3-3 game. Emil Bemström has a natural hat trick in the third period. And Tyler Seguin back for the Stars ties the game at 4 for the Stars down in Florida. And it went from looking like it was going to be a great night for the Predators to one that could have changed very quickly, and the Predators find a way to get it done in overtime. Roman Josi wins, and then it seems like about 6 seconds later, the Stars lost in overtime, which they've done 14 times this year at this point.
Unbelievable.
Pretty incredible. So here we are. The Predators get the win, and the Stars lose in overtime, so the Predators up 4 points now on the Dallas Stars. The Stars still have one game in hand, which means if the Predators were to win in regulation on Wednesday and the Stars were to lose in regulation on Wednesday, the Nashville Predators will clinch a playoff berth.
Yep. And those overtime outcomes, I think, were, what, 30 seconds apart? I mean, it was something like that.
Very close, yeah.
It was boom, boom. Big save for the Predators because, you know, if you come out of that game and you only get a point, and then you combine it with the Chicago game from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. You
know, yeah, it's, you know, you still may end up getting the playoffs even with that, but it would be hard to not look at those two and say, man, where would you be now? Where are you instead? Could have gone just totally the other way. Dallas, you know, Sagan, his storybook comes back and scores all this stuff, but instead they're on the doorstep here. So nice poise there late, you know, to get it done. I mean, it was just weird stuff, though. Like, you got an own goal from Ellis.
Yeah.
And then, really, Ellis also, like, you know, I mean, it's hard sometimes. You shield your goalie. It happens. But that second goal was also an incredible shot.
It's a ridiculous shot.
Like, try to do that again.
Yeah.
You know? But still, it wasn't quite the shocking, just complete disappearance for 3 minutes in Chicago, but it was pretty surprising.
It was. Forsberg was talking after the game, and it was, I don't know if he just forgot his name at the moment or if he truly didn't know his name, but referring to Emil Bemström, who scored the hat trick for Columbus, as that guy. It was awesome. He's like, yeah, that guy was shooting the puck pretty well. It's like, oh, good. They're giving up hat tricks to people they don't even know.
That one dude who hasn't scored all year. Pretty amazing.
Well, it was. But the Predators find a way to get it done. Roman Josi, two clutch goals last night. I mean, the one to put them up 3-0. I mean, I think Matt Duchene deserves a lot of credit on that play. Keeps the puck alive behind the net. Basically hands it off to Nick Cousins. They swing it around, and Josi scores from the point. And then you're in overtime, and the Predators had the puck basically the whole time in overtime. And Eric Halla just makes a great heads-up play. He's cutting towards the net, sees Josi spinning behind him, and he does kind of a spinorama pass back to Josi. Josi draws two people with him and goes crossbody over the glove side, and it's in the back of the net. I thought a pretty big statement made last night by the captain. When you needed a big play to be made, Roman Josi, more often than not, is the player that makes it. I mean, think about the overtime game against Dallas. He draws the penalty against Jason Robertson, puts him on the power play. The Predators ended up winning a few seconds after the power play is over with. And then last night, you score the game winner in overtime. Roman Josi, pretty solid statement made last night.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's not bad.
He's decent. Yeah, and it was, that it's a classic, first of all, the first period, they were outplayed. So it's, the classic team playing out the string, bringing up young guys, nothing to lose. They're going to get after you. And I thought it was a disappointing first period for the Preds, and then it was much better after that. But that's the wacky stuff that happens. A guy who hasn't scored all year,
yes,
gets a hat trick on you or whatever. You gotta play through that stuff, and they did. For them to have a chance here, even if they can just get the 2 points, regardless of what Dallas does, there's not massive pressure on the 2 games against a team that you can't beat.
Well, and remember, it's 2 points that you gain or points that Dallas loses. So,
right.
I mean, you're in good shape. I mean, if you win on Wednesday, even if Dallas wins as well, what are the odds of Dallas winning every game from here on out?
Right. They're gonna get all 4 points against Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay's still in a fight here. So
yeah.
You wouldn't think so.
I mean, look, I mean, you've put yourself in a position where if you're on the road, you've got a team in Columbus that I think showed some fight last night in the third period, and that was good. They've got a lot of young players. They know their future right now. I mean, John Tortorella's not going to be there. His contract expires after this year. He's not going to be there next year. They're kind of determining right now what is their team. What does it look like? I mean, some of the foundational pieces, Foligno's gone. You traded Pierre-Luc Dubois earlier this season. You've got Patrick Laine in there right now. That has not gone the way that they thought it would go up until this point. So you're trying to figure out exactly what is this Columbus team. You've got an opportunity really to just slam the door on Wednesday night if you're the Predators, and then just see what happens. I mean, I think you got to like your chances if you're a Predators fan of Dallas having to go on the road and take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know Tampa Bay has not played quite as well as of late, but to your point, they still are still in a fight. I mean, Dallas losing to Florida in turn helps out the Predators, not only just for the Stars losing, but it means Tampa Bay continues to have something to play for. Like, they've got to keep pushing here. So this is a really, really big stretch coming up on Wednesday night. And I think if you're a Predators fan, you kind of like your chances right now of maybe clinching Wednesday night.
I will say this. If Dallas wins the first game, Tampa Bay is about done. Now, yep. It doesn't mean they're just not going to show up the next night, but they're 4 points back, 4 games to go for both of those teams, for Carolina and Tampa Bay. So
now they do close the season out against Florida.
So, I mean, that's in Florida.
So how much do they care about home
being the two,
Florida?
Right, about being the two or the three.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I suppose, there was a little bit of incentive could be taken away if Dallas gets them in this first game.
Could be. And Carolina just keeps rolling right along. Last night they win again. They look really good.
So, and someone brought this up on Twitter. It's a good point. How many straight games against Carolina might the Nashville Predators be about to play?
Could be 9.
Could be 6.
Could be 6. Who knows? I mean, it's looking like that's going to be the route here for the Predators. Is you're going to end the season twice against Carolina, and if things go the way you hope on Wednesday, maybe you begin the next season against Carolina in the playoffs. That's certainly looking like the most likely route at the moment.
Not the greatest matchup. Actually, it is the most 2017-like outcome, because that's the one team, the Preds supposedly didn't want to play back then. But it's different because Carolina, it's just the matchup on the ice has not looked good at all. But, got to get there first. So That alone would be an achievement, and it would be a really interesting couple games at home if they clinch it by then. Does this mean, like, is it Pecorine, like, yeah. Swan Song?
Could be.
I don't know.
I mean, if you clinch it on Wednesday, he's got to play Saturday, right?
Well, it's an interesting thing, too. I would think so. That's probably the way to go, right? And then you play
Saros.
You play Saros in the last game, yeah. So you can kind of get him, keep him. Yeah. You don't want him to sit around too long.
That would be the way I would handle it.
Yeah.
Give Pekka his Saturday night send-off. Saros back in there on Monday, then go in the playoffs.
Is Pecorine all right with a – I mean, we're retiring for him, so – but is he all right for a – yeah, I mean, who knows? But all right with a send-off of, like, 5,700 rather than 17K?
I don't know. Maybe he comes back. Like I said, I've said many times, if I had to put the percentage chance of Rene retiring – last time we talked about this, it was above 50, barely. I'd probably go about 60, 65 at this point. We'll see. I don't know what he's going to do, but we'll see. I think it's likely, put it that way.
It's an interesting thing because, obviously, right now he's backing up, like, the best goalie in the league
right.
for the last 6 weeks. He would be clearly a backup, but... if he likes the trajectory of the team, would he want one more year as the backup / mentor on
maybe.
A good team?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
And the Predators, I mean, if he's not, you're going to have to figure out what backup goaltender looks like at that point. So, and David Poile has made it pretty clear. Like, if Pekka wants to play, he'll be back. He'll be playing for this group. So, I'm fascinated to see what he does. You got to take care of business first. On Wednesday, and hope you get a little bit of help from the Tampa Bay Lightning as well for this to be a thing on Saturday night and to have your playoff spot wrapped up at that point. Philip Forsberg comes in his second game back last night and scores a goal, puts the Predators up 1-0. And I asked him after the game about how he's felt since coming back in. It looks like he's made a pretty good impact. Looks like there's not a whole lot of rust there. How has Forsberg felt on the ice since he's come back in? Here's what Forsberg had to say after the game.
Yeah, Philip, you look like you haven't missed a beat out there. How have you felt since coming back in these last couple of games?
Oh, it's nice of you, Robbie. I feel a little bit not heavy, but I mean, you saw that breakaway in overtime. It wasn't flying up the ice, I can tell you that. But yeah, I think I'm just trying to make plays when I have the puck on my stick, trying to protect it, try to be strong on it. And I think Joey and Tolby has been playing really well, especially tonight. I think we're more generating more offense today, and obviously got on the board with that first one. So personally, I we got a little bit where still to go, but yeah, not a bad first two games.
So not a bad first two games for Philip Forsberg in his way back in, and confirmed what we've known for a long time. I'm a pretty nice guy. That's what we found out last night in post-game press conference.
So do we have – that's pretty nice of you, Robbie. That's pretty nice of you? That's pretty nice of you, Robbie?
Well, that's nice of you, Robbie.
Well, that's nice of you, Robbie. Do we have "Well, that's nice of you, Robbie" t-shirts?
Well, we'll see what happens.
I would
this
like
could
one
be
of those
the start
too.
Of my clothing empire.
Yeah.
Just one by one through the Predators locker.
Various phrases. Yes. About Robbie with that big face on him. I like it.
Could be.
I'd buy one.
Hey, we'll see what happens on that front. Do you think, like Forsberg, he mentioned the breakaway that he had in overtime. It was pretty funny because he was pretty clearly out of gas like halfway through the breakaway, and Bemstrom caught up to him from behind. And Forsberg got a pretty good shot off on the backhand. I think there's probably still some work to go in terms of game-like conditioning from Forsberg. But if he's playing this well in the first two games back and he's not back up to full speed yet, that's pretty encouraging about what it could look like when he is back up to full speed.
Yeah, that was kind of – I mean, he had to – you know, he had to get his momentum going that way. He kind of, like, left the puck out there for himself and, you know, maybe he was a little tired. But that was – I mean, he had to go backhand there and gave it a good shot. I thought he looked good. I think he's looked good the last couple of games. The power play, too, especially with the Johansson goal, that was exactly – like, when that first unit gets set up, I mean, they're very dangerous.
They are.
And that was – you have so much concern about Forsberg on one side, Tolvin on the other, and then you get a gimme for Johansson in there. So, it's a big deal. Another guy I thought looked pretty good in a tough spot because Colton Sissons finally misses a game.
Yeah.
The only guy who hadn't was Brad Richardson. I thought he played pretty well that fourth line.
I thought he did, too. I mean, the fourth line continues to look good. The forecheck game they're able to establish in there. I thought they did a great job of that last night, even without Colton Sissons. And it just continues to be the theme with this group, regardless of who's out of the lineup, who's coming in the lineup. They continue to, for the most part, play the same way. So another good step in the right direction from the Predators last night. It's one of those things where you just got to keep pushing. I mean, I thought Carrier played well again last night. You know, defensively, until the third period, they were pretty on point again against the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. So a really good stretch for the Predators and a nice response in overtime to get that win. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. Also get to a player who led the way for the Predators last night and is going to have to lead the way down the stretch as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a lot to get to today on the Nashville Predators. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, joining us at 8:30. We'll get into the game last night against Columbus with him. Also look ahead to a big opportunity coming up for the Predators on Wednesday night as well. That at 8:30. Charles Robinson, our friend from Yahoo Sports, drops by at 9 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into the latest in all things NFL with him, including the Aaron Rodgers situation. What's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? Blake Bedingfield at 9:30, former director of scouting for the Tennessee Titans. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And, of course, monitoring severe weather in our area as well. Right now, a tornado warning has been issued until 7:15 for Macon, Smith, and Trousdale County as well. So make sure that you're aware of that. Had some severe thunderstorms moving in through our area as well. Going to be a wet one out there, so if you're traveling into work, make sure that you go slow and take things easy on your ride into work this morning. It's been a little gross on the roadways just from the traffic cams that we've seen throughout the television coverage. Fox 17 has done a great job keeping people up to speed this morning, and we appreciate them kind of handling some weather coverage for us earlier this morning in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Joe, a big win for the Predators last night. They get it done 4-3 in overtime against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Roman Josi scores the game winner. Roman Josi with 2 goals in the game last night for the Nashville Predators. He has been just a horse for the Predators since he's come back from injury. He has been awesome, and he is playing, I think, every bit to the level of the Roman Josi that we saw last year that won the Norris Trophy. And look, we've talked so much about Saros and how much credit he deserves for this turnaround for the Predators, and he does. He's been outstanding. But I think coupled right along with that has been Josi and the way that he's played lately. He has been outstanding, and he's not going to win the Norris Trophy, and he's probably not going to be a finalist for the Norris Trophy this year. But if he played like this all year long, probably back in there for the discussion on the Norris Trophy again. He's been outstanding.
Yeah. Every once in a while, he still does something, and I'm like, gosh, is that new? I mean, he's something else. And, you know, coming up at the big moments, too. You know, that's a big part of this, being a great player. That's the thing with the Preds. You know, and it's a fair criticism and question, you know, when you got to have someone take over, you know. I mean, some of these teams out there have, you know exactly who that's going to be. And sometimes they just, you know, they can't be stopped. And the Preds pay some people to be like that, you know. But I think Forsberg and Josi in particular are the two guys who you're most likely to see come up in a moment like that. And once again, you saw it from Josi last night.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty texts in, says, Preds doing what the Preds do, making us old. Glad to get the W last night. It was stressful for a second. Get up 3-0 in that game, all of a sudden your lead is evaporated, and you're wondering, okay, like who's going to step up now? You find a way to get it to overtime, which that's always kind of the first step I look for when things are starting to unravel. Like, can you avoid ultimate disaster by losing this thing in regulation and instead get it to overtime? They were able to do it. They reset, and John Hines kind of talked about it last night too. Their overtime record has been really good. I think a lot of it comes down to what 3-on-3 overtime has basically turned into in the NHL, and that is you win the faceoff, you hold on to that puck until you have a good opportunity to attack. I mean, how many times last night did we see the Predators pull it back out of the zone and start to just kind of reevaluate their attack. I mean, Cali Yarncroke pulled it out like twice last night out of the blue line. That's what 3-on-3 overtimes basically turned into in the NHL, and the Predators, for the most part, done a pretty good job of having possession in these overtimes.
It's like throwing to first over and over again, like the crowd starts booing. I don't know how many people Columbus had, but they were upset.
They were unhappy. The Preds,
but, yeah, it's possession, and obviously if you can keep the other side from getting a change in, you know, then you possess it and you hope to wear them down, and the Preds had the puck for most of that overtime. I'm trying to remember, there wasn't really a great chance in there for Columbus. I mean, again, they barely had the puck, but Preds are, they used to be a bad 3-on-3 team. They are now a pretty good 3-on-3
team. They are
team.
Pretty good.
And they're an amazing shootout team, despite the aesthetics of some of their players in the shootout.
They have figured some things out, that's for sure. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Which, by the way, we'll take your text all show long. It's 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ty saying, just tuned back in, didn't realize that we were back on. We were back on. We've had the severe weather coverage, and we'll continue to keep you updated on that all show long. But we are back on talking Preds, and we've got some Titans to get to coming up later. So taking your thoughts on the text line, 615-737-1025. I asked Roman Josi after the game last night, and I now have an opportunity coming up on Wednesday. If things go right, you win the game and the Stars lose in regulation, you can clinch a playoff berth. Now that the Predators are on the verge of doing this, what's this journey been like to get to this point? Here's what Predators captain Roman Josi had to say.
Yeah, Roman, you guys, still obviously a lot of work to do, but you can clinch a playoff spot on Wednesday night. How would you describe the work that it's taken to get here and just the journey that it's been from your standpoint?
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of hard work, and definitely with the start we had into the season, obviously it didn't look great for us, and we kind of turned it around. And I think you got to give credit to everyone that came up and played. We had a lot of injuries. I think every single guy that's in that room, not just the guys that are playing, did their part. And it's been a lot of work, and I think we definitely earned that chance to clinch the playoffs.
So that was Roman Josi after the game, and I think he's been a big part of it. He's come in, and he's played really well. He's got 33 points, 46 games, 8 goals, 25 assists on the season. And just defensively, I mean, he's kind of been playing with everybody out there. Matt Benning has been a part of it. He's played at times with Carrier before Carrier went down and has since come back in. Now the last couple of games has been back out there with Ryan Ellis. And it hasn't really mattered who you put out there with Roman Josi. Been a pretty good pairing every time Roman Yossi's been out there.
It's a terrible quote by him because he should have started with, that was a great observation, Robbie.
He really should have.
But other than that,
keep things going.
That's the only nitpick I can have on Roman Josi. No, I mean, he's, And the whole Roman Josi as a captain, that's interesting how that.
I hadn't heard a whole lot of that lately.
Is no longer really a thing. So
it's amazing what happens when, like, the team starts playing the right way, how magically his leadership style is just unbelievable. Nobody questions it anymore.
Well, maybe he finally started screaming at people.
I guess so.
Beating people up behind the scenes.
I mean, he did, you know, get all bloodied up in that Dallas game on the road and scores the game winner in overtime. Maybe he was just screaming at everybody after that.
Giving people wet willies.
Yes. I mean, he did almost have some profanity in a post-game press conference this year,
that's
too.
Right.
So maybe that's what it was. They finally made Roman Josi mad. And now his leadership style has come to a head here.
I guess. You know, it's, hey, look, in all seriousness, is it possible that he's, like, gotten better as a leader?
Sure.
You know, I don't doubt that. It's just the idea that was the issue, or that he was bad at it, or that Shea Weber was whatever people thought he was.
Some military sergeant or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah. Was, I don't know, what did anybody ever have an issue with Mike Fisher as captain?
I don't think so. As far as I know.
Is it just because, like, I mean, because, like, to me, I was barely around Shea Weber. I was around Shea Weber for one playoff run. But, I mean, to me, they're all pretty quiet, polite hockey dudes.
Like, there's a, you know, you watch Shea play on the ice. Like, it's obvious.
He's a monster.
A monster.
Sure.
He's very physical. When you make him mad, you pretty instantly regret it on the ice. So I think you see that and you think to yourself, okay, well, if he's like that playing, like, he must just be this super intense dude all the time. And he is intense. It's just not the way that, most people think. He's very quiet. He doesn't say a whole lot in there. When he talks, people listen. When Mike Fisher talks, people listen. And guess what? When Roman Yossi talks, people listen as well. I mean, there's not a ton of difference, I don't think, in the leadership style that Yossi's put out there, because you also got to remember, like, who were the two captains that Yossi learned from? Shea Weber and Mike Fisher.
Right.
Leadership style is probably not all that different.
No. I mean, it's just, I mean, I think it really is. I mean, Yossi's a finesse guy.
He is.
So from that perspective, I mean, that makes sense. He's not out there, you know, plastering people. And he's pretty.
He's a good-looking dude.
I think that actually hurts him when things are going poorly. People are like, no, I want an ugly, mean captain.
Yes. Well,
I'm not calling Fisher and Weber ugly.
No.
Or mean. But I'm just saying, like,
he's a GQ model.
That's got to be part of it. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Right?
Pretty much. But the bottom line is, like, the plays he's making last night, he's been doing that for years. Like, this is what he is at this point. He's a really good defenseman. I mean, look, there's a chance when he's done playing, he could be a Hall of Famer. He absolutely can be a Hall of Fame defenseman by the time he's done playing. I don't know if he's going to be or not, but he is on a path right now where he could be a Hall of Fame defenseman. I think sometimes, and this has been something that's bugged me about hockey for a long time, we put so much stock into the captain and who the captain is and whether or not they're leading the right way, and it's important. It's not the end-all, be-all in terms of winning. Like, you don't have to have this elite-level captain to be a winner in this league. A lot of times the captain is the best player, and that's what this is with Roman Yossi. He's the best player. And when you're doing things on the ice like he did last night to carry this team to victory in overtime, that's what you need from your leader.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be that way, but that's what you need from your leader.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the C's out there, it's just, okay, this is clearly the best player on the team, so there you go. You got to have more leadership than that on your team. And, like, really, what is it? You're the guy who talks to the officials.
Yeah.
You know, you do some of those things. But if your team doesn't have a lot more than that, then you're not going to
– you're in trouble.
Yeah. It's not going to be enough anyway.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandy texting in, are we going to fight through all this and still get taken out in the first round by the Canes or the Bolts? Debbie Downer here over here. Maybe it's just the weather. I don't know, Brandy.
Stay safe, Brandy.
Stay safe, Brandy. I don't know. I mean, look, the record's not great against Carolina, against Florida, against Tampa Bay. Right now, I mean, the goal for the last few weeks has been just to get to that point, and then you can kind of figure it out from there and see what you've got. Are they going to be the underdog in any one of these three matchups? Yeah, they will be. And you've got to find a way, if you're UC Soros, to continue to play at this level. You got to find a way, if you're the forwards, to score some opportunistic goals. But I don't think there's any question. If they're able to clinch a playoff berth over the next week here, they will be the underdog heading into the series. It doesn't matter who the first-round matchup is.
Oh, big time. And, again, the Florida stuff, the most recent view of that, I don't know that would be a whole lot better. And Tampa Bay is, I mean, that would be my choice, which is hilarious for them. But if they get there, it's an achievement. It's worth briefly celebrating, and it certainly represents a massive turnaround. And I'll be interested to see what they can do. I don't think they're going to go out there and just lay down.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Tennessee Titans. The Titans made it approximately 48 hours through the draft without having another controversy. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.